It is Thursday. It's the Soccer Central podcast. I'm James Sharman, joined as always by Thomas Dobby. Thankfully, for the second week in a row, there's no Brendan Dunlop.
Amazing, I know.
Isn't it nice?
And better yet, he's stuck in an airport.
I know.
Yes.
So funny.
Loser.
I saw on Facebook or Twitter, he posted the picture. He's on his way to Boston, right? He just got back from Mexico, and he's going to Boston this weekend. There's a picture of him saying, I'm not sure I'm going to be getting to Boston this weekend. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be a much better podcast.
Bit of snow. J-Mo's here. Hey, John Molinaro.
Hey, James Sherman.
You didn't get stuck in the snow, did you?
I didn't, no.
Just makes me happy when I think of Dunlop in misery. Ruining his wonderfully planned weekend.
It's nice. Yeah. It's a nice slice of Schadenfreude from you.
Yeah, Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. Yeah. Remember the old Soccer Central
word.
Show and use Schadenfreude Tuesdays? It'd be the worst of the week. Ben Ennis.
No,
would,
don't.
No? You don't remember that?
Oh, yes, I do, actually.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It was a good segment. That was the worst of the week.
Yeah, it was decent, yeah.
It was the worst things in football in the past 7 days.
Yeah, like the Europa League.
Let me tell you, Forrest was off today, so I had to go solo.
Oh, my word. I'm sorry.
I tell you what, you know, you...
The analysis is probably amazing, though. Oh. What do you think, James?
Well,
yes,
that's
James,
a it was great quite... point. What a well-put-together question there, James. I tell you what,
fantastic
though.
Fantastic question.
You can talk about, you know, police officers and soldiers, emergency room surgeons. They have got it easy compared to me today.
Stop
that was the hardest job ever.
Stop it. All right, huh? Edit that out.
What a murder.
Yeah.
I am a martyr. Actually, some pretty good games. And it's funny, I've been making fun of Quarterback all year long. You know, when we go over the games
Dunlop's
coming up,
saying,
oh, Quarterback's playing, right? Dunlop's team, he's got the hat, hasn't he?
Probably.
They were playing Inter Milan today, and Quarterback, if you didn't know, which you don't know, and if you do, you're lying, are from Azerbaijan, a very, very small club. No team has ever qualified to the knockout phase from Azerbaijan before, ever. Now, had they have beaten Inter Milan today, they would have become the first team. So it's 0-0 in injury time. The last play of the entire game, they score a goal. Quarterback at 1-0 on Inter Milan. The whole place, and it was in Baku in Azerbaijan. It goes nuts, right? The crowd were fantastic in this game. It goes bananas. The players are just going, you know, beside themselves. And then it's ruled off for a phantom offside call.
Oh, no.
It was brutal.
Oh,
I don't know
no.
what the referee or the linesman saw. It wasn't offside. So they draw the game. Dnipro win. They advance. Quarterback don't advance.
Mm.
Painful.
That's tough.
Really painful.
All right. And we'll never speak of it again. Okay.
Actually, there'll be some good games in the next round because the Champions League teams drop down and a lot of those teams aren't even seeded.
Yeah. Is the draw Monday as well?
It is.
What's
yes.
the draw being Monday? That's the first.
Yeah, it's the first.
Yeah. I thought it'd be Friday for sure.
Yeah. 6 a.m. on Sportsnet World. You can catch
on Monday,
the Champions League draw.
Morning.
And 7 a.m. will
still
be the
up.
Europa League draw.
Okay.
You'll be up in time for the Europa League draw.
I'll still be up.
Oh, I guess you will.
I'll just stay up and watch Champions League draw. It's perfect.
Yeah. Nice one.
All right. Good.
But Spurs. Liverpool, Roma, Sevilla, the champions, not seeded. So there could be some pretty good games there. Champions League, of course, dominated our thoughts and our viewings this past week. Match day four on this podcast, we were just like ripping Man City and there's no way they're going to qualify. At that point, they had 2 points and there really wasn't much chance of them qualifying, right? Or did you say they're going to qualify?
I actually think we had quite the discussion on
really?
That there's still a good chance because of the results around them and the fact that they were playing a Bayern Munich team who had nothing to play for and would go to Roma.
I dismissed that argument, though.
I think you did. Yeah. I think the turnaround was unexpected. I mean, even since last week, the week that has been, you know, we thought, oh, 6 points behind Chelsea or, you know, Chelsea got that draw at Sunderland. All of a sudden, they rode that momentum, even losing Aguero on the weekend. Into midweek, and they look like a different team than 3 weeks ago. I mean, this is a team that was full on confidence, and they rode their luck a bit at times against Roma, but still, I think at the overall 90 minutes, I think that the better team did go through, and you know, now it's an exciting time for them, and the draw is the big thing, right? Because, I mean, we know what happened last year when they got that brutal draw, and now this time around, it's can they get a Monaco? Can they get a team that is not only beatable, but where they could be a favorite and get to that promised land of the elite, the last eight, maybe even the last four. That's, you know, now the goal for them.
I think, you know, you can make the argument and people have that, you know, on the balance of play over the group stages, they deserve to be there. And people have said probably not, and that they were lucky just to be in that position. But you know what? Going into match day six into Rome, where Roma haven't lost at home domestically all season, missing Aguero, missing Yaya Toure, missing Silva, missing company. You know, quite the balanced and mature performance from City. You know what I mean? To go in there and win 2-0 minus all those guys. I thought Samir Nasri was, you know, for all the flack that he gets, it was quite sort of a, not a dominating performance, but he played quite well.
Yeah,
you know,
great form right now. Great
yeah, goal. Scored well, that goal and set up Zabaleta.
He stepped up with David Silva out. He stepped up to that position and was exceptional.
Absolutely. I mean, I was really impressed with the, as I said, the maturity of this Man City performance. So you've got to hand it to them. I mean, yeah, they probably shouldn't have been in that position to begin with, but, you know, full credit to them. I thought they deserved to go through.
It's really, I mean, I know they won the game. I think they won one game before the Bayern Munich match. But regardless, that Bayern match, the 3-2, seems to have done something to them. Whether it's been, you know, the glue to bind them together, they found that urgency. They're playing so much better now. Have they figured it out? Do you believe this team is now 3 points back at Chelsea in the Premier League?
I think we've learned a pretty good lesson quickly, even, you know, amongst the football fans as a whole, and kind of just the nature of it, how we are in the media. And it's just, we're fickle these days, right? We just judge teams right away. We all, I think, everyone that watched the Premier League was handing Chelsea the title already a month ago. And you know, Pellegrini said it after the Everton game, and he just said, it's so simple but true. I mean, championships aren't won in November and December, and no more, you know, on display than what City's doing right now. 3 points back all of a sudden, it's such a marathon. We knew Chelsea wasn't going to, you know, go this season undefeated. We knew that there would be a blip, and there's just so much time. And Man City are the champions for a reason. I think that, you know, we all wrote them off very quickly. They are a deep squad, as we saw this week. They're going to, you know, have their peaks and valleys. But to do what they did, I think that we can say that they are back and now have a chance to do damage again in multiple fronts this season.
And not that you want to lose Aguero at any time, because he's such an influential player. But, you know, maybe this isn't the worst possible time when you look at their schedule in December. Like, they've got some pretty sweetheart lineup or matches coming up.
Yep.
So if they can sort of weather this storm without Aguero, I wouldn't be surprised if they'd be able to close the gap come, you know, January.
They're at Leicester this weekend, then they're hosting Palace, then they're at West Brom, then they're hosting Burnley. That's December.
That's pretty much January 1st is
Sunderland, and you got Sheffield Wednesday in the Cup. Yeah.
That's a pretty
very good time.
It's a very favorable sort of lineup of matches. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me come whatever it is, January 3rd or 4th, that they've closed the gap on Chelsea, or maybe even surpassed them.
Of course, when Pellegrini says that you can't win a championship in like November, December, he's wrong, because you can win the FIFA Club World Cup.
Oh, there you go. You win a trophy.
Trophy.
I mean, you can win the Community Shield in August.
Sure you can.
Yeah. I mean, it's time for a guy like Edin Dzeko to stay up, and I really respect Dzeko and like him as a player, just because he's such a professional. He doesn't, you don't hear from him much, and he doesn't complain, and he basically gets chosen when other guys are hurt, but he always seems to step up. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if Dzeko went on a run and scored 6 or 7 goals in the next 5 or 6 games against those teams.
He's done it before,
and he I have no idea, but I would assume he works super hard in the training ground. He seems like a team guy. He just does his job, and he does it when he has to, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if he picked it up and carried them for the next month from a goal-scoring standpoint.
But, I mean, Pellegrini likes playing that 4-4-2, doesn't he?
Yeah.
In the league, at least. And you wonder, can he work beside someone? And will it be Jovetic when he gets healthy? Or is he better served playing by himself up front?
Yeah, he might have to change it up a bit, because Dzeko kind of works as that target man and, you know, play the two wingers. And I thought that Navas was pretty good for the first time in a while midweek as well.
He's been good for a couple of weeks, actually, I think. He's really stepped it up.
Yeah, I guess it really came to the forefront because he needed to be so good this week. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't really hit a peak at all in English soccer in the time that he's been there, which has now been, what, a year and a half, and you're kind of waiting for it to happen, because when he came, you thought, well, him and Negredo, both these, you know, really classy guys from Spain, and it hasn't really happened for Navas, and I think that it's an important time for him as well. With all these injuries, you get these guys, and you, oh, they're devastating. The guys that are on the bench waiting to go are still big-money players who play for their country and still can be massive factors on a big stage.
So Jose Pozzo, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just waiting to take that mantle away from Aguero.
All right. Yeah. You get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
of course. missing Yaya, of course, as well, weren't they, this week as well?
They were.
And he's played much better in recent weeks. So you look at some of these teams who have got through their groups despite having a lot of injuries. I look at Bayern Munich, who just cruised through their group, obviously.
Yeah, who are some of the group, names in their team on the...
The lesser known names like Roda, he scored a goal.
Yeah.
Right, there were some really good players coming through, but they've got through with ease without Schweinsteiger for much of this campaign. Yep. Badstuber has been out the entire season. Mm. Lahm's now out for a while, you know. So when these guys get healthy, you know, watch out. Some of these teams will get so much better. Liverpool tied Basel 1-1. We broke it down last week. What was to be expected from this team and what they must do? Again, I mentioned it a lot, I think, on the game on Tuesday, how they're putting all this pressure on a 34-year-old, which is just a complete statement as to where this team's at right now. They were bad. They were nervous. They were, I don't know what it was, but they were so poor against Basel and a team that, again, that they had to win. What an indictment on where this team's fallen.
Yeah, and on the balance of play, like not just in this game, but I think in the group stage, they've been poor, right? I mean, the only previous win was the one against Ludogorets at Anfield. And that was handed to them lately.
More, Milan Borjan.
Yeah. Maybe. So, I mean, I think the problem is, I mean, we've kind of discussed it before about, you know, they didn't really sufficiently retool in the offseason, but this whole idea about the Anfield mystique and European nights and Steven Gerrard still has to carry them, it's, you know, it's antiquated now.
People were saying at the game that the Anfield was very quiet.
Were they?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you don't hear that very often, right, about Anfield and these nights. It's supposed to be those big nights.
Right.
But you're right. To rely on that and Steven Gerrard, I mean, someone stepped forward here.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah. Someone.
And then, you know, Markovic comes on and looks pretty impactful. Yeah, in the story. I thought, right, oh, good sub. You know, they were coming on and then he does that. Now, what, your opinion, is that a red card?
It's a really harsh one, but it is a red card.
I agree. Good. A lot of people.
I got smashed on Twitter for saying that.
You can't. It's the letter. You can't do that, and it's so blatant.
And then he flung his
arm.
It's incredibly blatant.
If it was, I mean, it was reckless. I'm not sure he was intending to hurt the guy, and he may have barely caught him. I mean, he clearly embellished, but there was contact when it's hand to face, and it seemed like it was intentional, didn't it? Because he looked first.
Yes.
Yeah. Just he lost his mind for saw a purple haze for, you know, a second there. Do you think it's a red card, Jimmer?
I thought so too. Yeah, for all the reasons kind of said, you can't sort of do that, right? I mean, it's just, he's asking for it.
Because he did look really good in those 15 minutes. Yeah. He was attacking, he was going at them, beating
guys
1-1. And then
they started playing, you know, better after the goal as well. You could see that life was there. I thought they were going to do it. You know, we talk about that mystique and stuff, and clearly it's, you know, not the same as it was, and this Liverpool team is very different. But you kind of felt it for the last 10 minutes there. And, you know, Basel were under the caution a bit there. I really did think it was going to happen. And I found myself rooting for it for some reason as well. I don't know.
But it's shocking that it took that goal, though, to really kind of wake them up, right? Because that was the 82nd minute before that.
The first half was a joke.
Yeah. That was a complete write-off. So, I mean, you kind of have to think, like, what's going through Rodgers' mind that he can't sort of get these guys going for such a critical game?
Well, if you look at that match and the tactical changes within that match, he tried so many different things, like, well, maybe too many things.
Yeah.
You know, he goes from, he pulled guys off at halftime, Ricky Lambert came off, brings on Markovic, you know, he tries three at the back towards the end there. He's changing. He overthinks it sometimes, mm-hmm. Brendan Rodgers. He really does. Do you think he's under pressure? If they lose to Manchester United on Sunday, is he under pressure?
I feel like we've had this conversation about him and Wenger possibly last week. Can't remember yesterday, no less last week.
It's quite possible.
I really do think he has a long shelf life. I really think that he's going to have time to figure it out. I think they could finish 8th this season, you know, go out of the FA Cup in the 4th round, and he'd still be okay. I really do. I think that they're going to let him see it out and figure this out. I think that ownership does realize that realistically they overachieved last year and that this is a long building process. And when he came in, I think that the message was, this is a long term rebuilding project. Not that he was at Swansea that long, but kind of what he did there, and a system and a style of play. And you're a victim of your own success with the success of last year. But I think that he has time. I don't think he's under much pressure right now.
Yeah, I think that last year was, I mean, it was a great campaign. I don't want to take anything away from Liverpool. But I do think it was an aberration, a one-off. So I think they always understood that this was going to take longer than it would than one season turn. The other thing is, too, is if you do let him go, then who do you replace him with?
Yeah.
So that's got to be taken into consideration, right?
Well, you wonder also, if he does leave that club and that job is available, do some high-profile coaches overseas suddenly say.
Oh, Kenny Dalglish, sure. You know,
it definitely should be. Yeah, Hodgson might be.
Alan Kirbishley, the name will be in the mix. Yeah,
but you know, I've heard people say before, like a Jurgen Klopp, he'd love a team like Liverpool because Dortmund's not too far off that,
right? Yeah.
You know, it is what that team is. And
but that would happen.
There were rumors about Andres Villas-Boas this past week across the, I think, the Telegraph, the Guardian, like renowned papers had this story that he'd been felt out by Liverpool ownership, which I found strange.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Well, when they draw Red Bull Salzburg and get smashed 6-0 over two legs in the Europa League, maybe we'll be rediscussing this. But
I mean, the part for Rodgers and the fact that why he might feel that is because the signings haven't worked out. But when you lose Suarez, who is a top five player in the world, it's going to have this kind of impact. We always, you know, forget that the Suarez and Sturridge show last year.
Sturridge has been out for.
Look at Spurs since Bale. I mean, you look at how they're doing. I was watching something this week, and some of their, you know, their fans are, you know, upset. No, we should be competing for the Champions League. It's like, well, look at your team on paper.
Ricky
Spurs
Lambert
and Liverpool,
is your starting center forward.
That you should be competing with the likes of Manchester United and Arsenal. I'm sorry,
you shouldn't be
with the money and the teams that they have. I mean, I know that Arsenal haven't spent as much, but you can't compete with the Manchester United, Manchester City, and Chelsea's of the world with the teams that you're fielding right now. You just can't.
With what they spent on in this, like in the, like who they brought in the offseason, like they're not, I agree, they're just not set up to compete with those top four, and they don't have the depth. I mean, you look at it, like they lose a guy like Sturridge, and, you know, what are the options?
Well, Bello gets hurt as well.
And that too.
It hasn't panned out.
Yeah.
You wonder also, and it's not just Liverpool this, but giving players a run of games, I think, is so important in some cases. And you look at Liverpool, Adam Lallana, for example, £25 million he cost. He hasn't been given a run of games yet. Yeah. He hasn't been given a chance to really show what he can do. And yeah, he's disappointed so far. I know that. But stop fiddling with this bloody team. Go with your preferred 11. Give it some time.
And that also, you know, plays into confidence. This team is so low on confidence. You see it from the back forward. I mean, Mignolet, we mentioned, he's got no confidence. Guys like Lovren, there's no consistency in that team. And who is that guy? There's no guys every week are in there. Even Gerrard is now, you know, not immune, and he's getting rotated. It's like back to the Rafa Benitez days, but not as good.
He's not successful. Yeah. Barcelona have no such issues right now. Beat PSG 3-1. Messi, Neymar, and Suarez scored. 6 assists now for Suarez as he assists on Messi in 9 games.
Yes.
He's finding his feet. Now, I wonder this when he first signed. You know, he's been the man at Ajax and at Liverpool, and now he's going to Barcelona where, you know, he's going to be second fiddle to Leo Messi. And we saw how Alexis Sanchez had some difficulty with that. And I wonder how will Suarez, you know, deal with that. And so far, he's not scoring goals. He's playing very well, though, isn't he?
Yeah. No, and it's funny because I wrote about this in my blog yesterday. It's very much a secondary role for him because he's not the go-to goal scorer with Neymar and Messi there. But, yeah, 6 assists in 9 games. He did score yesterday. But the thing is, like, he was always been a talented playmaker. Like, even last year at Liverpool, I think his sort of ability to set up teammates with scoring chances was often overlooked because he scored so many goals himself. So I'm not quite surprised that he's kind of fit in so well at Barcelona. And this, he's really sort of thriving in this secondary role for him. And I think it's shown a great level of maturity as well because there's been no sort of shenanigans with, you know, biting anyone.
Give it
or anything
time.
Like that.
Give it
well,
time.
I guess, yeah.
We got a long way to go.
But he's really kind of, you know, he's not sort of been, you know, bitching about anything. He just seems to have settled in this sort of kind of almost like a playmaking role. So it's been great to see.
Last year, 12 assists in the league.
There you go.
With his 31 goals.
Yeah, only 31? Yeah, just 31. No, I think that as soon as that signing happened, we're all kind of excited with that three-pronged attack and, you know, how would it work with Suarez and Neymar and Messi. I think we started to see, you know, some signs of it yesterday, how lethal it could be. And for the first time in a few years, I feel like we might have, you know, that incredible Real Madrid-Barcelona rivalry and chase to the title. It's been good, but I feel like this year, both of them are firing on all cylinders and have really tooled up. And this could go just, you know, punch for punch in the league. I think that they both could get, you know, close to that 100-point mark, scoring goals for fun. Both could go very deep in the Champions League. I mean, that's a threat every year. I think that rivalry, and they're pushing each other because both are playing so well. I feel like, you know, the last few years, Real's been good. Barca's had a down year like last year and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I think that this year it's going to be incredible to watch as these two juggernauts continue to just power through, you know, both league and Champions League. It's going to be fun.
8 straight wins since that PSG loss for Barca.
Yeah.
I will say the defense is still very questionable. And we saw that yesterday on the goal that PSG scored. It doesn't matter maybe when you're scoring 3 or 4 goals a game, but against the Real Madrid, when it comes down to, maybe it comes down to in a Clásico.
Yeah.
Could be.
We saw it in the first one.
I would favor Real Madrid.
Saw it in the first one. Yeah, Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Tore them apart pretty well after going down 1-0. 3-1 was the final, I believe. But Real were on fire at that point, and Barca hadn't really got their stride. And it's since that that now you're starting to see how Barcelona are coming
Real,
together.
19 straight wins.
Yeah. It's incredible. Hat tricks every
doing
it
the right way.
Every
week both teams are. I mean, Messi's got 3 in his last 4 games.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of Barca, this is off topic, but Barca's defense. Did any of you guys see that picture that floating around of Gerard Piqué?
I did.
What was with
what,
that?
The net? We played that opening our show yesterday, and every player except for Neymar had a really bad knit sweater on. And so it must be like bad sweater day at the office.
Game of Thrones.
It was great though. I loved it. It's like a what's it called? That knight in shining armor. It's chain mail or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
But as I said now, I said, you know,
it was an interesting look.
I said Shakira must have been knitting for months.
Yeah.
Hey Gerard, I've made you a gift.
Do thanks. I have to?
Do I have to? I'll move those hips again.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'll wear it.
It's like the puffy shirt, like on side.
Yeah.
She probably like asked him like one night when he was drunk, like, so will you wear this to the
sure
game
I
tomorrow?
Will.
Yeah. You agreed? Like,
just close your eyes.
Puffy shirt.
Close your eyes, right? And just picture a roaring fire and Shakira knitting.
Oh
my God.
Lovely.
I love that image. Oh God.
All right. That's about enough.
It's a magnificent image.
Yeah.
Those needles.
I don't want to get.
What's she wearing, do you think?
I don't want to get that far into your head, Charms.
She's wearing very short shorts in my image.
Oh, yeah? I think she's wearing like a white sweater. It's very short.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's
belly showing?
Oh, of course. All right.
I was on the
getting off the rails.
I was on the same plane as her once.
Were you really?
Oh,
Shakira?
I was, yeah.
No.
I was coming back from.
Both in first class?
I wish. I was, because I was covering the World Cup in South Africa. So the day after the final, I was flying back, and she just happened to be on the flight.
Did you make a move?
I tried to, but was wrestled down by like her entourage.
was she flying like normal,
get out of the
not first class, or she was in?
No,
first
she was
class?
She was flying first class.
You walked
by
her though.
Yeah. Well, no, what happened was she was actually late for the plane.
Oh yeah, so they held up for her.
Of
course they did.
So we're all kind of lining up, and then all of a sudden it's just this barrage of like sort of handlers come through, and we're like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And it was Shakira, so they let her on first.
Where were you flying back to Toronto?
Yeah.
So she, or was it a stop or something?
Well, yeah, there was, it was, I think it was like stopping in Atlanta or something like that.
Right.
So.
Interesting.
Got a vision now of J-Mo like cuffed face down.
Oh, yeah.
Down.
Oh, yeah. I totally see it. Yeah.
Well, I was in the same plane as, what's that?
You would be.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the same plane as Matt Lucas recently. You know Matt Lucas from Little Britain?
No.
Crying out loud.
Is Shakira,
who are you people?
Yeah, I know. Is Shakira like your, like, I felt like you had someone else always who was your like celebrity crush that you
were, there's many.
There's many.
There's numerous.
Mean, yeah, you're
I always like Alyssa Milano.
Oh yeah.
Now she's tainted somewhat because she's, well, she's kind of, everyone picks her as growing up.
You liked her in the Who's the Boss day.
Yeah, Sam. Sam Minnelli.
Oh god.
Yeah, no. Love Who's the Boss. But I'm a big Shakira fan.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's someone else. It probably is.
I had a big thing for went on a rider for a long time. As
really?
Well. Oh, it was quite unhealthy.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. What would you do if you saw her on a plane?
Well, I'd be cuffed for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no doubt. No. I'd end up. There'd be like the plane diverted. You know, to the nearest airport.
All right.
Man amazing. Arrested after. Anyway.
Anyways. Be like Dunlop, sound like Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
Like going, that's his celebrity crush.
I know it is.
All right. Juventus got through. J-Mo, what'd you think of Juventus' performance?
Atletico was very tough to break down.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're just.
Like that bathroom door on the plane.
You done now?
Almost. Yeah. Almost.
No, it's funny because everyone's talking about Barcelona and Chelsea and Bayern and Real, and that's great, but I would not want to play Atletico in the next round. They are, it's like 5 clean sheets now in a row, and just so well defensively organized and so well disciplined that Yeah. They are, I think they're going to be flying under the radar. And if I'm one of the top seeds, I'm thankful that I don't have to play them in the next round.
Yeah, even in the league, I mean, they've really steadied themselves pretty well.
Yeah.
I believe they lost their first game of the season in the league to somebody pretty poor. And then I think they drew the second game. So it was like 1 point from two matches in the league. And everyone thought, oh, Atletico, you know, okay, they're going to be fifth this season and it's not going to be a good year. But they're currently only 2 points back of Barca, four back of Real. And Real's on 36, Barca 34, Atletico 32. So they found that form again quickly in the league. And I mean, that was a tough group. And
it was.
Atletico pretty much walked it. I mean, yeah, they were never really in doubt of not qualifying. And you could see that result coming a mile away, didn't you, on Tuesday? I mean, yeah, both teams get through.
So
then
good defensively. Atletico conceded one goal in the last five games.
Yeah. Although Juventus certainly tried. I mean, they went for it. It was only until like the 85th minute where they knew that the draw would get them through that they kind of said, all right, we can take our foot off the pedal. So,
Jamie, what's Paul Pogba becoming? Something pretty special, isn't he?
I think so. I think, and we kind of talked about this with, I forget who it was, a couple of weeks on the Monday podcast. We were talking about, you know, where he stands. I think he's becoming, if he's not already, the next Patrick Vieira. Mm-hmm. I really think he's just an elite talent that, you know, when you think about it, that Man United, why they let him go. I mean, how badly could they use a player of Pogba caliber and what he brings to the table right now? Yeah. I think he's very special. I don't think he's quite world class level, but he's getting there, and I think he's going to be, you know, a top five midfielder very shortly.
Born in 1993. What were you doing crazy in 1993, James?
Thinking about Alyssa Milano. Way too much. I know he's so young, eh? But he's a full deal right now, isn't he? And that whole midfield for Juventus. I mean, when they're all healthy, you know, Marchisio, Vidal.
Yeah.
Pereira is pretty decent too.
He was.
Pirlo, of course.
Yeah, although Pirlo, I think, didn't sort of actually have his best game on
last couple of games. He was poor on the weekend too.
Yeah, he was.
But
he's getting on.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. He can't play that level.
I'm not writing him off, but he's clearly not the player that he once was. I think it happens to everyone. I mean, look at Xavi, right? I think going through something similar.
How long do you think Pirlo has left at Juve? Do you think this might be his last year?
I think he'll be like there another year, and then that'll be it.
MLS out to pasture kind of thing, probably.
I think he's going to be, that'll be it. I don't think he has any sort of designs in playing in North America or anything.
Maybe
like
he'll join Esteban Cambiaso and go play at like Leicester or something.
Isn't that weird? Seeing Cambiaso at Leicester? He's playing really well too.
Has he?
Yeah, he has.
Yeah. It's so weird to like play on a crap team like that.
He was one of my favorite players.
But you know what? I respect that because he clearly just like wants to play still, right? And he's like, he could easily just hang it up and be like, okay, I'm done. But he's instead goes to like the struggling club who's always going to be in a relegation battle this year with a bunch of players. It's a weird dynamic, but you know, good for him. He clearly just loves the game. So
Ashley Cole being so good.
Didn't Roberto Mancini spend time at Leicester City too?
Was it Leicester? He definitely came over. Was it Leicester? That sounds right.
I think you're right. Towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
Checking it.
I think you're right. Ashley Cole's the latest name to be mentioned with a move to MLS. He can't even get into the matchday squad for Roma anymore.
Yeah. Well,
it's been a disaster.
I think he's just,
the legs are gone.
Yeah. He's clearly sort of lost a step. And the Greek defender, whose name I can't pronounce for
Torosidis?
No.
Hobolis?
Hobolis, thank you.
Hobolis.
Been playing very well. I thought he played, had a very good
game. He should have scored, actually, in the first 5 minutes.
Well, that's the thing we didn't mention, too. Like, Hart, for all the
brilliant.
That's some great games this season.
He was fantastic, and he made some great saves. But, I think Hobolis has just been playing very consistently for Roma, and that's why Cole is finding it hard to get in the starting 11.
So the draw goes on Monday. The seeded teams, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, Monaco, Dortmund, Bayern Munich, Barca, Chelsea, and Porto. And the unseeded teams, Juve, Basel, City, Schalke, Shakhtar Donetsk, Monaco, Arsenal, and Bayer Leverkusen. Atletico, Arsenal would be a great matchup for me.
Yeah, everyone's going to want Monaco, aren't they? And, you know, Dortmund and Porto by extension. I mean, there's some interesting ones in there. We're going to get a couple of those glamour ties. Regardless,
Dortmund's awakening, I think, though, don't you think?
But, I mean, the struggles in the league, I think that they're there to be had this season. They're not the complete package anymore, and I think that that's a team that people wouldn't mind getting.
Well, we spoke to Stefan Bidkowski on the podcast on Monday about Dortmund and about what their problems are, and you know, he's saying that it really comes down to a personality issue. Some of these players have lived their life for a while now. They haven't got the hunger anymore, which is a massive indictment on that team.
Yeah.
But the ability is still there, and they are getting healthier.
Yeah.
Gundogan came back, didn't he?
He did.
Right, and that's huge.
He did. That's massive.
He can stay healthy.
Yeah.
He's one of Germany's very best players, and we forget that they won the World Cup without him and without Royce.
Yes.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? My God. But I think Dortmund could turn it around. A lot of these teams have bad first halves to the season, and I think you're going to see a very different look in some of these leagues by the time May comes around. Anything else Champs League related you want to touch on?
I don't know. Twitter's blown up by that tweet you sent earlier, so should you do some?
Sure, what? Let's do some. Okay, at MuralGC, will Vidic return to United? Was that even a rumor?
I don't know.
He's playing awfully at Inter right now. And Inter, I think Mancini said this week that he isn't going anywhere. He's staying. I didn't know he was being linked to United. Why would they bring him back? I know they need defenders.
I know
right
they're
now,
desperate, but they can't be that desperate.
I would.
Would you? Really?
For what their options are right now? At least it'd be an option.
Oh, Chris Smalling's playing well. Oh, no, he's out again for 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're one defensive injury away from another complete disaster. I mean, the guys that they're plugging in there right now, and fair credit to them, they're doing well, and Van Hall's doing really well. I thought that Monday against Southampton was a good tactical victory for him because they didn't play the greatest, but he had all his ducks in a row, and I thought that he came out looking really good against his former... I guess, protege and Koeman as well. But to have a guy like that and have that option, I mean, why not? When you're basically trying to... Ashley Young's playing at the back often now, as a defensive role. Yeah.
He's played well, too. It's weird,
he has
isn't
played
it?
Well. It is odd, but...
I still don't think United are playing that well.
No.
They're relying on some heroics on their goalkeeper.
They've been okay. I don't know. I'd bring him back.
My bouncer on Twitter, at Chef Hurton, says, Jim, would love you to discuss the highway robbery against my beloved Sporting Lisbon. UEFA sucks, he says. Chelsea. Was there a robbery?
They lost 3-1, didn't they?
Yeah, trying to find a little refresher here. Where are we here? Wednesday's results here.
I didn't watch it.
3-1. I don't know what the robbery was here.
Oh, wasn't there something in the first time that they played? Maybe I'm misremembering. I don't remember.
I thought
clearly we don't know.
Pretty good in that game. Sure, this goal was nice, wasn't it?
It was very nice. There. Lovely finish.
Mm-hmm. Really well done. And that's for Mikel's howitzer. Oh.
Why do you have a bouncer on Twitter?
Sorry?
Why do you have a bouncer on Twitter?
Oh, when idiots attack me, he usually jumps to my defense.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's nice.
He's very nice. You need a bouncer on Twitter every now and again.
Yeah,
at Tiger Sammy again says another shout out for Rotherham wouldn't go amiss like last week.
Oh, good. So
Rotherham,
listening.
Here you go.
Amazing. Yeah. Wonder who they got in the FA Cup. Let's look. Who did Liverpool get in the FA Cup?
Oh, I've been so European when around Europa League and Champions League. Let's look it up here, shall we? All right.
Sheffield United got QPR away, which is decent. Maybe they'll rest some players because they're focused on the league and
we
always
right
do well.
Where are you guys right now, though?
We're in fifth. Not been very good.
All right, here we go. The draw, FA Cup. Okay, so big games. Rochdale have Aldershot Town.
No, he's Rotherham.
Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. All right, where are we? Yeah. Come on, Soccernet. Kill him.
These questions
days.
Aren't going well. What happened with the... Yeah, all right.
All right.
Rotherham got Bournemouth.
Bournemouth?
Yeah.
Oh, Liverpool, Wimbledon.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Throwback, crazy
sexy
game.
Early
late
90s
80s.
Tie, yeah.
Oh, outstanding. Arsenal Hull again.
Yeah.
FA Cup final.
Final rematch. Man City Sheffield Wednesday. City stuffed him 7-0 in the League Cup not long ago. Hopefully that happens again.
Nice.
Good.
Dover, Crystal Palace.
Sunderland Leeds. That's a cool old school one as well.
Everton good. West Ham.
Yeah.
Doozy. Fulham Wolves.
Love the third round of the FA Cup. That's
me too.
Great.
It's really, really fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
See these awful teams.
Awful.
Just terrible teams.
Oh, I love it when you get
having
to see
that
the
hope
car parks.
When the whistle, when the whistle starts, and then by the end of it, they've been destroyed. But
yeah, it's great. 3,000 seaters, you can.
Yeah.
Shots go over the net, go all the way to the car park. And you got fans sitting on the top of the hill
hit
across
the
street. Amazing.
Goalkeeper.
Great.
Yeah.
It's what it's all about.
See, Winkles, how do you think Owen Coyle will do in MLS?
That was an interesting
one. Oh, that's an interesting
one. He was the next big thing in English football when he left Burnley for Bolton, wasn't he?
Yeah. And that sort of didn't
pan out. And the Houston.
Well. it'll be interesting because I think a lot of European managers who come over to MLS, I think they find it hard.
I think John Carver might disagree.
I'm sure he would, but he'd be wrong. But, you know, you look at guys like Aaron Winter and, just there's a couple of them.
Ruud Gullit.
Perfect
Disaster
example.
Disaster at Galaxy.
Perfect example. Guys who struggle with the, the uniqueness of the league. So it'll be interesting.
I think the biggest issue, once they get over the dumb rules and the crazy transfer scenarios, is they realize how bad the officiating is. And that's what got Carver.
Yeah.
Carver just couldn't handle it.
I think that's something that he'll probably struggle to deal with. But the one thing he does have going for him is Matt Jordan, who is like their recently hired GM. He knows the league quite well, and he's kind of like a young executive.
Is he from the Impact?
Yeah, used to be with the Impact, so they hired him. So he's a young executive who's really well thought of in the league, and he's kind of, his stock is on the rise. So, I mean, he'll have him, to sort of build the team and worry about that so he can just focus on managing. So, I know it'll be, I like Coyle. I think he's an interesting guy, and it'll be one to watch, certainly, in MLS next year.
They were crap last year, Houston, weren't they? So, conceded 58 goals, finished eighth. They finished under Toronto FC, so they must be
pretty bad.
Yeah.
How about that expansion draft this week, eh?
Yes.
How about it?
Yes.
Yeah, so tell
TFC,
us about it,
TFC, they lost Lovitz.
They lost Lovitz for about an hour.
I'm assuming it's a deal that was...
Yeah, it was worked out beforehand. So they lost Lovitz. He's actually a bright player who I think has a bright future in the league. So they lost Lovitz to New York, and then they traded him back for allocation money. So it was they basically lost nothing to get him back. So
do you remember TFC's original expansion draft when they built the team?
Vaguely.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
So Marco Retta and
he was I think a free agent, wasn't he?
Yeah. I'm trying to think who they would have picked.
That'd be interesting.
Toronto.
What about the MLS Cup final there? Landon Donovan, Landy Cakes goes out a winner.
Yeah, that's good to see. We actually discussed it a lot on Monday's podcast, which you clearly didn't listen to.
I didn't listen to it, so it's good.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, no problem.
But check it out. We went in detail about Landon's escapades and how Robbie Keane screwed him over.
I don't think we said he screwed him over, did we? I think we just...
I did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, because of the... the scoring chance.
Didn't pass to him either.
Do you want to know who Toronto FC picked?
I've got it right here. I've got it. Oh, some good names here.
Yeah.
Let's hear him.
All right, number. I'll start. You go second.
Sure. Yeah.
Kalo Nagamura.
Yeah, from the Galaxy. Yeah. Danny O'Rourke. Never heard of him. Don't remember him.
Jose Cancela. Had a few games.
Yeah. Adrian Cirio. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Still works in
TFC.
Gold TV. Yeah.
Gold TV.
Yeah.
Nate Jacqua.
Yeah. Remember that
name?
Rod Diachenko. Don't know if he ever played for TFC.
Jason Kreiss. Remember that one?
Tim
Regan.
Yep. He actually. Tim Regan, I think, because he retired soon after, I believe. And then didn't he get an emergency call up for one game? I could be completely wrong there. Richie Kochow. Will Hesmer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Amazing. Wow.
What do they do with these guys? Interesting.
Let's go through every MLS team that year and who they protected.
Yes.
The Fire, they protected Matt Pickens, Sam Robinson, and Chris Roth.
Pascal Burton. Yeah, all right.
A terrible podcast.
Yeah, good.
Let's go to the weekend game, shall we? Arsenal's playing Newcastle. You can catch that one, the late one on Saturday on Sportsnet. Actually, Canadian Nick asks, is Aaron Ramsey back? 2 goals in the Champs League, scored last weekend as well. Beautiful. That drive this week.
Oh.
Woo!
He sums up Arsenal to a T, though, I think, Ramsey, because it's kind of like the inconsistency can be great and then, can go away. More for him with injuries and stuff, but yeah, Arsenal, it was kind of a bit of a nothing game, and they go out and they play their best game in ages. So probably frustrating for Arsenal fans. But I think Ramsey's been phenomenal for the last 18 months when healthy.
Yeah.
That's the huge if, right? I mean, we've seen it with Aguero. He's one of the best players in the world and then can't stay healthy. Ramsey, I think, is getting to the point where he could be, one of the elite players in the Premier League if he could consistently deliver it.
It hasn't been the same this year, though.
No,
I know he's been hurt that one stint out, but he's been a shadow of what he was last year. This year.
Yeah, the start to last season was incredible, but they really missed him. I mean, they really missed him when he went down. That's when they started to bobble a little bit.
So the answer to is Aaron Ramsey back is we don't know.
Yeah.
We hope
we
so.
Don't know if he ever was there. That's the thing.
Yeah. Was it just a fluke? 1 year fluke?
Yeah.
Newcastle, are they for real? You believe in them? They just keep winning games. Chelsea last week.
Well, I mean, I think they're a top half of the team table. I mean, they're probably in that 6 to 10 range.
But their recent form in the last 2 months has been top four range.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. So is West Ham.
Yeah, but so is West Ham, and that's not going to last. So, I mean, I don't think they're a top four team, but, you know, full credit to them. I mean, beat Chelsea last week.
Take me inside Alan Pardew's mind. What goes on in that head of his?
I honestly think that Alan Pardew is, he's a braver man than a lot of people, because he took that credit and he took it, sorry, not the credit. He took, you know, the hounding really, really well. And he didn't lash out. He didn't get, you know, angry at the fans. He
didn't headbutt any opponent.
Yeah, well, all right.
Push any referee.
This season, he took it really well, and he's turned it around. And I think that he could easily, you know, be a complete ass about it and just kind of, oh, you know, like, they weren't behind me. But he's not. He just, you know, he's done his job really well. He knows they're not going to keep up this level that they're playing, but exactly what JMO says. I mean, poor start, really good now. They'll be somewhere in between, and they'll finish, you know, around 8th or 9th. And there's that cusp after those big teams that there is that spot to kind of find your pocket for a team like Newcastle, for teams like, you know, Stoke and Sunderland that want to be in that second tier, be happy to be. They know they're not going to be a top 6-7 team. Newcastle, I think, have the ambition to, but just let's be, you know, honest here. They completely changed the club over. There's not many guys that have been there for a long time, and for a bit of an experimental season, if they can finish in that top half, then that'll be a great year.
Why can't West Ham stay where they are?
In the league?
Yeah, why not?
Because teams like Arsenal and Liverpool and Tottenham with more money are going to overtake them.
Really?
It's going to happen. Big second halves
from those teams?
It's going to happen.
Tottenham,
West Ham
yeah,
have been so impressive to me.
I think Tottenham, Liverpool, and Arsenal all finish above West Ham. I'd be stunned if they don't.
Yeah. I think that their signings have worked out so well. And now you've got Andy Carroll back for the time being, who's playing
really well. They're okay. They're
really?
Just on a good run.
Aaron Creswell, maybe the best signing of the season.
They're just on a good
outside
run.
The big money
early
moves?
In the year. They're just on a good run that happens to be early in the year. I'd be stunned if
they've
West
They've beaten
Ham
City already. They've beaten
seven.
Liverpool already. You know, they haven't had like, the easiest schedule.
Over under. 8th in the table. I say they're under. Under 8.
Because then you've got Southampton lurking around there as well. Newcastle. It's so difficult this year because there's been so many odd stories. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, it's going to be a great race for 4th. Let's agree to that. We should, before we leave, get to what used to be the match of the season. Manchester United-Liverpool goes Sunday. What do you make of this? I mean, there isn't much I don't know, excitement about it, is there?
Well, just look at Liverpool, right?
Yeah, but even like last few years when the Reds haven't been, you know, really a legitimate title favorite outside last year,
yeah,
and when Man U were, it was still arguably the big game of the year. This year is like, meh.
By the time kickoff rolls around, you might feel differently.
I will be.
I mean, the atmosphere will be there.
I'll be excited probably, but
yeah. I'll probably be up and super hungover, and yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah. What's the, on the network this weekend? I'm actually going to be on the TV. So
you should know, you're hosting. Yeah.
I'll go to Chelsea Hull, 9:30.
Yes.
We're also, and I believe it's a programming change, I believe we're going to be airing on Sportsnet World the Villa-West Brom derby.
Oh, are we?
Rather than Palace against whoever they're playing, Stoke.
Oh, okay.
So I think there's a change there.
Oh, interesting.
And then we have the late one also.
Which is Arsenal.
Arsenal-Newcastle, which would be a great match.
And then Monday it's Everton QPR. Yes.
Yeah, and we have that too.
We've got that too. Nice.
Yeah. All right, it's a pretty fun weekend.
I love the Monday games.
I do too.
It's great.
Oh, midweek games in general,
something
they're fantastic.
To do. Oh, yeah.
That's why Christmas is so amazing.
We've been spoiled of late the last couple of weeks. And then, yeah, the busy season coming. It's great.
All right, we're back for one more podcast on next Thursday, I think. JMO and I are back on Monday. Paolo Bandini joins us, talking some Premier League. And also the Champions League draw and the Europa League draw goes on Monday. We'll discuss that. So thanks, fellas. Thanks, Emil, behind the glass. Dunlop, I hope you're still stuck at the airport. My apologies.